Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, reform you.
My dad was an alcoholic, and I dressed up as Dracula on Halloween. So this week's selection,
it's a true story,
really felt familiar.
Tale as old as time.
can I just say introduction? I'm sorry, this movie was pretty bad, and
it had the nugget of a great movie though.
it was like the little Dracula part was like 5 minutes long.
Exactly. You know what was normal? Right, we'll get into this when we talk about the main attraction, but I just wanted to say, like, there was something at the core of this where you could have made like a crazy great family movie.
It felt like an 80s Disney movie.
Well, I think it was very much, it was a kid's, it seemed like a Monster Squad kind of feel, you know.
It was like 5 minutes of the Monster Squad.
Yeah. Like a Wonderful World of Disney, but like real dark.
Cheeky Dracula.
But we'll get to Cheeky Dracula, which means Little Dracula. But first,
the movie makes me laugh and I was entertained.
Yeah, I had a great time.
So we'll talk about
Andy will review a movie called Who Invited Them? For straight to video Russian roulette.
I think you have to say like that.
Who invited them? Ew. Patreon.com/NOTLP if you want to support the show. We have a lot of bonus shit over there, including Origins. We just talked about an episode where Horror Hound Weekend was coming up in the future.
When in fact,
yes, past.
Horror Hound Weekend just happened in our past. Normally we would post audio from Horror Hound. We had a slight malfunction. You could release some of it.
Well, I don't want to put it out incomplete. There's the wrap up for the weekend coverage.
Where we talked about some fun stuff.
Which was just really kind of fun in the moment. The Rodecaster Pro crashed.
You knocked into it real hard.
I did not knock into it. Yes, it had been doing it several times that weekend.
You definitely ran into it.
The power
he ran
failed.
Into it.
She's full of shit.
And we lost that little bit. So Freddie's waiting to find out.
And did it fall down the stairs? Is that what happened?
Yeah. I sent the file to Rode and I have not heard back from them yet. I'm hoping they can repair the corrupted file and the whole thing can be put out. Otherwise, I'll figure something out. But needless to say, it was an awesome weekend, Horror Hound weekend. Thank you so much to everybody there. Jody really helped us out because we ended up doing a last-minute appearance live podcast thing.
So we talked about it on our last show, how we had just kind of just been told, hey, you guys want to do this? Mick Garris canceled. We have this slot. Do you guys want to do some sort of podcast with the Broken Lizard guys? So we were like, we will do that for you.
Also, I was excited because it's the Broken Lizard guys. Yeah. It wasn't like... Amy was like, we'll do that.
Listen, it could have been the best thing. It could have been me getting up there with Barack Obama.
But you would have been really nervous.
Who is a frequent guest to Horror Hound Weekend.
But here's the thing.
About it.
But at the same time, somebody needs to inform Barack Obama that he's going to have a panel that day. So that didn't happen with the Broken Lizard guys.
We're going to go ahead and just throw our friends at Horror Hound Weekend under the bus a little.
You know what, though?
This is pure Nathan. But anyway.
I'd say, like, all's well that ends well.
We got it figured out. We got to hang out with those guys on stage. We had a really good
discussion.
Well, we didn't
know. We didn't know what we were doing up until like maybe a half hour until we actually did it.
Right. Right. There was a little bit of like scrambling here and there, which is the nature of these conventions because they are like a living organism. Yes. Little pieces die and you have to bring new pieces of life to replace them.
Jesus.
And yeah. Like, I mean, like cellular tissue, you know, it is like where I got this big part of my liver that is a different color for some reason.
Like stem cells.
So how did the, how did you guys do this, being on stage and everything?
Oh, it was, they have a, it's really similar to Comic-Con or
it's
any,
just like a panel room.
Yeah, it's a big ballroom and there's a stage with backdrops and they have cameras that record everything.
Well, I've been to those. I mean, but what were they promoting?
Well, Lewis is asking why us,
right? Right. It's weird, like the combination of like they just could, the
kind of
yeah.
It was just a case of Nathan thought it was a good fit, and it turned out to be a good fit, and it's because it was two. It was Eric Stolhansky and
Paul Soder,
and Paul writes a lot of the material from like Super Troopers, Club Dread, and everything, but. We did end up talking about Super Troopers 3, which is a thing that's apparently happening. Mm-hmm. But the real thing was just about providing kind of like a fun night in that room for the people at the convention. And honestly, I think it was better than a lot of like, if things had gone right, it was nice because everybody was relaxed because nobody had any stakes because they've done several Horror Hounds before. Mm-hmm. And they weren't there to like promote or sell anything like very, you know, intensely.
Recent, yeah.
Those guys are kind of masters of their own creative destiny in a lot of ways where they kind of do what they want to do.
And plus they were so laid back and chill about the whole panel that we didn't have to do much. Like you asked them a question and they just.
Who was the host?
Me and Friday and Andy for 1 to 2 minutes.
Yeah. We kind of just did it like a live podcast where we introduced it
when
as
are we
a podcast.
Get that audio?
I need to talk to them. It might be already, I don't know if it's out on Horror Hound Rewind. Yeah. They do a whole thing called Horror Hound Rewind.
Yeah.
Which is
October.
Well, they have all you have access to like prior content from panels and the convention and everything.
But it was wonderful, and we had such a supportive group of people there. You know, I had the people to look at when I was sweating at the idea of having to.
Yeah, the people who turned out for the panel were almost entirely like familiar faces.
Yeah,
so that was really, really great. It's just the support, and everybody was really cool because I'd only ever done this one other time. Amy and Andy had never done it, so it was like, I know how you guys felt because I just felt that way when I did it in Indy, I think.
Years back. Yeah.
But it's once you're up there, it's the same thing we're doing here. So it's not so bad.
Yeah. But I'm like just sitting in my comfy pants.
It's true. Like right now I am really slob.
Have I even brushed my teeth today? Oh yeah, I did.
But anyway,
it was wonderful. And then we had just the most wonderful hangout with everybody over in the backyard. Great weather.
That was very nice. That was very, very nice.
Yeah.
The patrons. That's something that I love that we're able to do that. The patrons that could make it out to Horror on Weekend, that we could spend time together and have a meal.
Everybody's the Morris has hosted a very nice get together at their home.
Did we do good?
Thank you.
You did good.
We do good.
That was like, that shit sustains me, not to be overdramatic, but
I got
really
to
does.
Change a friend's life.
Yeah.
Paul got to pee in the backyard. He's never peed in somebody's yard before.
I think.
Does he want that out there, Amy?
I don't care. I just said it.
Wow. Never peed in somebody's backyard before. Huh? Yeah.
I feel like some people, they never occurs to them. They're too refined.
Listen, I got one bathroom and there were like 16 people at my house. Dudes, piss in the yard if you can.
They've been brainwashed by big toilet.
I'm smearing shit all over everything back there.
Shitting takes
my
place
own
in the toilet.
Shit. And I'm like, no, man, make your mi casa su casa. Smear some poop. If you don't have any poop to smear, have some of mine.
Smear it.
But no, really, there was no boot play. It was just delicious pizza, grape soda, good food.
Delicious foods.
Yeah, just good stuff. Tim made It's the best, maybe the best salsa I've ever had.
Good ass salsa.
It was really good.
Freddie, did it taste better a couple of days later? Because Tim was pontificating on how you need to let salsa settle and
get. He let it. That had already happened somewhat. He had been doing that with it.
Listen, but this is a top tip for salsa.
That was 2 days.
But I did.
You had it a week later.
That's right. I had it later, and it was better later. On the burrito, we made homemade burritos, and we put that on the homemade burritos. Yeah, I'm the hoe that made them, and delicious. I mean, the only other salsa I had that I was
delicious
that enthusiastic about was too hot, but it was so good. Was this ghost pepper salsa we had? You remember that shit? I think it was Mrs. Renfro, maybe.
Oh, is that from Jungle Jim's?
I don't know. And it was so hot, but it was so tasty, and you had to keep eating it to fight the heat. You need to put more heat on it.
That Mrs. Renfro's, that's a local brand, I guess, because it's all over the shelves here.
Oh, really?
Oklahoma.
Is she a white lady?
I have.
Can I trust white salsa?
That's what I think.
Well, no, the recipes were stolen from indigenous people.
So it's so I should thank her for presenting it to us in a more whitewashed manner.
That's right. She cleaned it up for you, Andy, so you could be more comfortable eating it.
Yes, also was amazing. Everybody was amazing. Here's my question. Are we going to be allowed to release this episode on a Monday? I mean, it is the Queen's funeral.
You know what? It'll be late in the day. I think everybody.
Are we allowed to laugh?
Well, they're a couple hours ahead of us. So
there you go. By the time this is up, it'll practically be tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
There's only one Queen video for a funeral. That's with Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Freddie Mercury funeral. The I imagine Queen Latifah's funeral.
Oh yes.
You know, the queen of the silver dollar. Lewis understands what I'm saying.
Hi, Elise.
What's up, Elise?
We're waving hello. Okay.
Elise is in a very fetching animal print today. This is appropriate for dinner out with friends or the office because it's also very refined.
Anyway.
Where's Anandra?
Look at what Anandra did.
The queen died. I think all the pomp's done. Are we done with the pomp?
What about now the circumstance?
I think now it's circumstances.
Now it's time for the circumstances, yeah, all the pomp.
You know, in America, we only have about 30 minutes of every celebrity dies. Someone makes a blip joke, so.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Gilbert Gottfried, rest in peace, takes to Twitter as soon as he finds out about a tragedy. I'm going to miss that guy. He would have had a great joke about this whole situation that we will never know because he died. Suck on that, alternate timeline motherfuckers.
Indeed.
There's Penny. Or Penny?
Yeah, that was Penny.
See, I'm getting good, man. I can identify
you are. As
cats.
You're already good.
So, or on weekend, whatever that happened. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see some pictures on our socials, so just check those out.
Well, I promise that if I'm not dead by next September,
okay.
I'm going to go to...
You're going to be here for what?
Yeah.
I would love that so much.
That would be lovely.
And if I am dead, I'll still come. And I want you to give my desiccated, mummified body like a lap dance.
Yeah, we're going to have you at the table, Freddie.
Yeah.
Are you saying we're going to have you mummified?
Yeah.
I think that's become
that's very
my
expensive,
wishes.
Freddie. I don't know.
Well, I believe all the gold in the floorboards will pay for it.
Freddie, can I make jerky out of your body?
You said jerky or turkey? Because yes, to jerky.
Jerky.
But you're not a freaking alchemist, Andy. You can't turn me into a turkey.
No, I'm just going to dress you up in like a turkey costume.
Dress my dead body up as a mummified turkey.
Yeah.
It's what I would have wanted.
You know what? You should really be mummified in the tomb. And 100 years later, they go to look at your tomb, and they look over there, and it's just a guy in a turkey outfit.
I do love the idea of being buried in something. Like, if you can get a trend started enough that future generations of archaeologists would think that we're all assholes, I think that would be awesome.
It's a real douchey sarcophagi.
Yeah.
It's branded sarcophagi.
Yeah, it's my new, it's a BMW sarcophagus. It's the Cadillac of sarcophaguses.
Some corporation's going to buy your pyramid, and it's going to be Paycor pyramid instead of Freddie Morris pyramid.
Oh, man.
When I had a stroke last, they asked me my funeral plans because I was out of it. And basically they said I'm going to be cremated. And I was thinking about that, about all the protocol jokes I could have done knowing that I'm going to be cremated. Stuff I could have done. Like, someone has a thing of a immensely quick, and I put some.
I'm also being cremated.
Cremated.
So we can do we could do like a goober grape thing if we want.
Yeah, you guys wanna?
Yeah.
Make Andy eat it. Andy
would. Oh, I would too.
He would do it for $5.
This sounds like, you know, I want Andy to have the sprinkle they have at pizza parlors. Just every often just pre-meal sprinkle onto as a food,
like a red pepper flake or a
right onto a Sbarro pizza.
Yeah.
And then say, did you think you were just eating Sbarro pizza, Andy?
Guess
what? It's a prank show.
My Strange Addiction or something like that, where the woman was she would like eat her dad's ashes.
You know, we were just talking about that with somebody, weren't we?
Yeah.
And then they admitted they were like a producer or something, said that they had faked it. Remember?
Oh.
I'm sorry if I got someone in trouble saying that, but I thought it was.
You know a producer of that show?
Somehow we ended up talking to somebody who was a producer on My Strange Addiction.
No, like somebody. They knew somebody that was on it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yes. We didn't talk to a producer.
They
knew
an actual person that was on it.
Yes.
Thank you, Andy.
So, like, it was like the Wizard of Oz moment, like the peek behind the curtain.
I didn't know that.
It's the same way I found out that Cash Cab is not real. They just don't pick up random people.
Yeah. Same with Bang
Well,
Bus.
That I guessed because you couldn't know.
Bang Bus. No, that's real.
Well, that's Bang Bus is the template for Cash Cab, really.
True. Yeah.
Cash
Cab. Just a different version of Bang Bus.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about Barbarian?
Well, we can't give away anything, but we'll just say, I think.
Did you see it, Andy?
It's great.
I'm going to see at the Cheapies tomorrow.
Oh, okay. That's right.
The $5 Tuesdays.
The thing is that makes it great is it's a clever tinkering with.
Clever
the,
girl.
The
I heard it's kind time. Of like. The Malignant of this year, where it's like, whoa.
Well, it has here's the thing, like, just watch it. Cause I
just
can't
watch it.
To me, it was a very good.
I went in very blind. I had no idea. I knew Justin Long was in the movie. That was it.
I didn't even know that until a second ago.
Yeah.
It's elevated
horror.
It's not elevated horror in the sense of like Hereditary or Midsummer, the Ari Aster stuff is elevated horror. It's elevated in horror as in it is very much a classic horror story. Very run-of-the-mill kind of story when you think about it, but it's so well done and they fuck with the timeline and the way you experience it is very different. But that's all I think you can say about it, really.
Is it? Okay, how scary is it? Because I plan to see it by myself. So
you'll be fine.
Okay.
I mean, it's scary, but it's also one of those things where
you'll be fine.
I think you'll be fine.
But you'll it's be me. Fine.
You'll be fine.
Are you going to go in the middle of the night?
I'd probably go on like a matinee and sneak in some food.
Yeah.
Is Conan pretty good?
He solves the riddle of steel in like 2 seconds, man.
Just denies Conan.
Do you guys want to do roulette now? I think that's a good spot. Everyone's feeling good? All right.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Margo and I are so excited to have you guys for our little housewarming party. Hashtag Adam and Margo's crib.
Cheers!
Do you think people had fun?
Sure.
Whoa! I gave our host a little scare. It seems like we lost track of time in the toilet.
Oh my god.
Hold on. Who invited you?
We weren't actually invited in the formal sense.
Or the informal sense. What?
Can we hit the reset button?
This is a great little house.
We got a good deal because of the history of the house.
It was just a little domestic murder situation.
Hey, I wish someone got blown away in my house. Gives this place some character.
It's embarrassing, actually. We were just doing a little coke.
So 80s.
Oh, I know.
In my
Don't
house.
Don't judge me. It's gross.
It's so gross.
Do you have any left?
Margo.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I saw the way you were eye-fucking earlier.
No, I was not eye-fucking anything.
Welcome to the hills. We share more than just cups of sugar.
What was that?
It's a game we play.
Whatever you do, don't hold back. Sasha is like a bear when she smells fear. You and your girl down for being tied up?
Oof, looks like it's time to hit the old hay.
Sasha might do a quick carving job.
I'm giving you guys to the count of 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Andy?
Yes. Who invited them?
Them.
Like I said, you have to say it like that. I don't know how I feel about this movie, honestly. It was well made, was well acted, but nothing really happens in the movie.
Yeah.
The premise is like this couple has a party at their new house. It's a housewarming party, and everybody leaves except for this one couple that nobody knows. They're party crashers, basically. And then the party crashers and the couple, start drinking and talking, and awkward things happen. And that's just most of the movie, honestly.
Oh.
I saw Dick Casablancas was in it.
Oh.
From Veronica Mars.
Yeah, Ryan Hansen.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Hansen. Yeah, he's good. He's good at being douchey. And I guess that's probably one of the reasons I had a problem with the movie. Nobody's likable in this movie. But he's really good at being, like, douchey, right?
Right.
So it's kind of like a checkbox, like a check in his favor. But it's just most of the movie is like a marriage counseling session. There's like tension in their relationship, and it just comes out in a bunch of arguments and awkward conversations. Very little horror for a horror movie that's on Shudder. I don't know. I was entertained, but I wasn't invested or anything like that because
it didn't give you what you wanted at the end or anything.
Because there was
make
no
a
like
great like Augustus Caesar type at the when they're the gladiators come out and fight each other, and you're like the one's done, they fed him to the lions, and they're like, Emperor, what did you think of today's gladiatorial combat?
I don't know how I feel. I mean,
I don't know
that guy cut that guy's arm off, and that was cool, but no one was decapitated.
Yeah.
I like to think that that's how.
Are you not invested?
My thumb is just going to remain in the middle. Not
thumbs ambivalent.
Yeah. It probably like there was no like peaks or valleys. It was just very like flatline throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Was it a long movie?
No, it was like an hour and a half.
Okay.
But it didn't feel like an hour. It moved at a good pace, like a lot of conversation. But I've never said I was a smart person. I consider myself pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But I can see the twists, not twists, but I can see where they're going a mile away. It's pretty obvious. To me, at least, maybe real dumb people won't see it coming. people dumber than me, if you didn't see this twist coming, then I'm sorry for you.
I think a mainstream audience sometimes can a twist can work on a mainstream audience that doesn't work on an audience like us. That
it's not even like really a twist. It was just I can see the ending coming. Right. Where they're going, and like I said, I'm a dumb.
I think we're so conditioned now to look for beats in horror movies. The genre has like tropes and beats and familiarity to us that like a regular, like someone who's not a hardcore fan. I've thought about this a lot. Like some movies where somebody who is a casual horror fan or only watches horror movies like once a year on Halloween, and how these things play for them so is so different than the way they play for me.
Yeah. So maybe I'm not the right person to say, like, I saw this a mile away, but for mainstream audiences.
I think that you're on to something, though, because this is a Shudder movie. They have to cater to fans of, like, a hardcore fan of a horror film. Part of Shudder's criteria, to me, feels like it should be, does this surprise us? The audiences that are subscribing to this service, like, when they buy movies or they produce movies, I'd love to be, like, see them do things that are out of the box, you know, but still familiar. I want perfection, please.
I spent most of the movie waiting for the end to see if I was right.
Yeah.
So, and I was, so yay for me. But then again, I shouldn't applaud to myself too much because it was pretty obvious.
I was thinking about that when we went and saw Barbarian, because I, like I said, I was completely blind going into it. And I felt like that might have been detrimental in some way just for me, because I spent the whole movie trying to understand, all right, well, okay, like analyzing where I think it's going to go because I don't know, and that makes me uncomfortable.
No, that's great, though. Don't you like that feeling?
Maybe, or did I not get transported as much as I could have because my brain was trying to prevent any anxiety?
That's all tangled up in my brain.
Oh, I need to call my therapist.
Yeah, because me, like, the engagement that it requires
makes me
enjoy it more. Like, I'm more, the more engaged I am with something, the more entertained I am by it usually, too. But,
But I was, to a certain extent, I was entertained. I guess I was engaged, but not invested, because I'm not really caring what happens to these people because I didn't necessarily like them.
And I get you.
And the strangers that showed up too, they were intensely unlikable. I mean, obviously they're going to be, and it was obvious.
They sounded like it on the trailer.
Yeah. I guess maybe the last, maybe 15, 20 minutes kind of saved it, but I don't know. Is this movie perplexed me a little bit?
Perplexing.
Because it's just there. I was entertained, but it's not something I would ever say, oh, you need to check this out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, if it's like on TV, boy, you'll watch it.
Yeah. And it's probably a no.
Your liege, would you prefer we just bring out grapes and some big leaves to fan your body with?
I was going to say,
I don't think I'd recommend it.
All righty.
But that's for me. Like, somebody watches horror movies a lot, but
then I don't think I probably wouldn't like it either.
It was just.
I had a point to make, a question to ask, and now I can't remember.
All right. Yeah, was it, you were going to say that they should make a reality TV series, but it's like that movie Whiplash?
Yes.
Where a director of a horror film who's never pleased, nothing's ever good enough, and every week they have to do more and more extreme things just to keep him happy.
Yep.
Still J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
And I'm burned out on movies and TV shows about rich white people arguing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you love gossip, and like you're getting to see, like, they're not about real people or anybody you know.
Yeah. But like, well, it was just, why would I put myself watching like people argue for like an hour and a half?
What would you have done if Beatrice turned up
Yes.
from dinner? And she was like,
is she wearing them pants? Because I'd be like, come on in.
She's like, she climbs the wall. She comes out of the water and she's got seaweed all over. She's like one of the Ted Danson from Creepshow.
Excuse me, I'm dying.
And now she's like, I changed my mind. I'm not going to walk in the ocean. I'm going to take every one of you motherfuckers out.
I would have been like, I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah. If this were the 80s, that would have been
what a twist. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a recommend for me, but I acknowledge that it was well made and entertaining.
All right.
Well, okay. Thank you so much, Andy.
Do we touch the screen?
No, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately, Andy. Okay.
Before I
touch it, though.
But I'll touch it for you.
Before we touch it.
Before anyone touches anything.
The movie for next time is Speak No Evil. It's also on Shudder. Don't you dare. One family accepts an invitation to the rural home of another they met on holiday, only to find their lives altered in unexpected, deeply horrifying ways. Interesting kind of similar plots.
Ooh, deeply horrifying. That's when they had me.
I did not expect my life to change that way.
So whoever loses this... we'll watch this not next episode. That's feedback, but the one after. And it looks like it's Ms. Amy.
Oh, yay!
It spun silently.
I will speak no evil, though, as commanded.
Have no fun. So I'm not... main attraction, I didn't pull up a trailer for this because we couldn't even get like subtitles on the movie itself. So,
do you have something for us to like get into the mood?
Yeah.
I am Dracula.
Oh.
So there you go. Imagine that in like an 8-year-old boy's voice.
Dracula.
And in Spanish.
And in Spanish. Mexican Dracula is really good, though. Highly recommend if you've never seen it.
Okay.
Oh,
well, yeah. Lewis, why'd you pick this movie? Do you have like an attachment to it from your childhood or something?
No, I've a bunch of DVDs and stuff I have never gone through, and this was just like it looked like something I think we like, but it's pretty bad.
I mean, it's a bad movie. It was shot what on VHS maybe?
No, it's just 1986.
Just the time.
It looked cheap for 1986, but there's like a Willy Wonka, like Charlie Bucket quality to the family in this.
Yeah, totally.
That I like.
Cheeky Dracula. So okay,
yeah.
Lewis is like, "What about Cheeky Dracula?" And Andy's like, "I can find it on YouTube, but there's no subtitles." And I'm like, "Let's fucking do it."
It wasn't the first time we've done.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, we did it with Palo Suelto, and I enjoyed that immensely.
Right. So I was like, we're going to do this. And I think we did okay.
I had the translator app on my phone up. Those things suck. They can't pick up like real people talking in the real cadence and tempo that are usually, you're used to hearing. Like it would get like, okay, that means no. And then it would be like, and then I think it picked up something here because it says something about corn.
And okay, well, Lewis, right now, Lewis is showing us the DVD box cover, and when you look at it's like a little kid dressed like classic Dracula with the widow's peak.
It looks like a painting.
Yeah. So when you look at the poster and you hear the title, you expect to see.
I thought it was going to be a little Dracula doing crazy things. And he doesn't show up to like the last 5 minutes.
Well, it's an origin story.
That's very.
He had to go to AA with Grandpa in order for him to become Cheeky Dracula in Cheeky Dracula: Return of the Clown. Child.
Well, it's mostly he goes to some. The Amy,
yeah.
Then there's a guy like doing pranks or
He's almost like a Chris Angel mind freak people out there, but like working class Chris Angel.
Yeah. And it just all these schemes are, and then the last 5 minutes, he gets a Dracula costume.
Okay.
From an old lady.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we go any further,
that's where you get it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna read the synopsis on IMDb.
Yeah,
good idea.
This is what I based the whole movie on, just on the synopsis.
Everything and, I saw, I went through this. Yeah,
I was trying to go through the filter of the synopsis. Okay, Cheeky Dracula, 1986. A kid is tired of seeing his drunk grandfather wandering the streets. One day, he sees a Dracula's wax figure and gets the idea of scaring his grandpa dressing up as one.
This is not what I thought this was about.
Really?
I didn't know what it was about. I couldn't really follow any of it.
What it is the kid.
The kids were adorable. The kids were cute as fuck. I loved them.
The little one was so cute. He had a cute little.
I love the kid throwing rocks at windows, like right in the middle of the fucking street. What a badass.
This kid was
Here's the thing. He
was a bad mofo. I wanted to hit him.
He had, I don't know what his name is. We're going to call him CD because he becomes Cheeky Dracula.
Yeah. And he called him Bad Mofo.
He was a criminal.
He has, unfortunately, I don't see any father in the picture. I don't know what happened.
Cheeky Dracula.
Mother Dracula. Has to work full time. And grandpa's busy being drunk. So does CD get up to?
He doesn't have a good home life.
He gets up to nonsense, but he also somebody gets horribly in the house bullied.
Is handy because they've built out of bricks, which would have been awesome had they not had it. It was all tipsy top. It was like no one had a level, so all the furniture, like the sink in the kitchen, was like a brickwork. Somebody just built. You could tell like this is real hard scrabble living, you know. Mm-hmm. But like. All they had to do is move some of the bricks from the left to the right, and they'd have had a level surface to wash dishes.
And remember, they had another scheme when he took the money at the poor box from the church.
Oh, yeah. Is that why the priest was after him later?
Yeah.
I thought he wanted technically to touch him.
Technically, he is poor, so he's owed that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he whipped that rock at that window, I was like, yeah.
Okay, well, that's our first
introduction. Why did he do that, though?
That's the first introduction we have of this kid. Within the first 5 minutes, he finds a huge brick and just throws it through a shopkeeper's window for some reason, I assume.
Fuck capitalism.
He was after the licorice.
Burn it down.
But it's not like it was like a Walmart superstore. It seemed like a mom and pop store he was throwing a rock at.
And that was the day they decided to just go live with their daughter. The owners.
I love you.
They're like,
I love you.
We can't. They're like, Mom, Dad, you can't stay in this neighborhood anymore. It's not safe.
There's too many Cheeky Draculas.
Cheeky Draculas, bricks.
So cheeky.
That's why that's probably where their sink got all offside. He took Cheeky Dracula, took the brick to throw through the shopkeep's window. And now they've got a crooked.
That is really bumming you out, this whole brick situation and the non-level.
He picked that up over by that guy fixing the car who asked him what the fuck he was doing, and the kid made up some lie.
He didn't say Cheeky Draculing.
Is there a reason he threw that brick through the window besides being a punk?
Chaos, man.
Because
he's an anarchist.
He's an anti-monarchist.
He thought he'd get to leap home.
He's going to be the Joker.
Oh, my God.
In the Dark Knight. That's Heath Ledger's character.
Oh, so we should emulate him by, you know, standing up to the man.
What if there was a whole Cheeky Dracula craze that starts out of this?
He's a total shit. We all agree. This kid's a shit. But he does provide for his family somewhat. And he does convince his grandfather to go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And then he proceeds to get up and do like a whole testimony. And I don't know what the kid was talking about because I didn't understand any of it.
Well, I like that there's the one guy running the meeting. He is dressed like the sharpest, like as sharp as a man can dress, like pocket square, cufflinks, perfect.
Would you say every girl would be crazy?
I would say every girl would go crazy for a sharp dressed man. Yeah.
Like especially this
guy. And he had the collars. Nice.
He stands up to the ZZ Top test.
Yeah, but he was the only dude in the whole place that was remotely like, and it almost felt like maybe the director really was a little more complex than we're giving him credit for. And he's like, this guy's a fraud running this AA meeting. It's just another example of this family being taken advantage of.
I think what we're discovering here is that because Freddie didn't understand what anybody was talking about, he just focused on weird shit.
I focus on their clothing.
And the building.
Anyone dressed nice as a villain.
And the sink as well. Don't forget the sink.
Poor it's crooked sink. You want a lopsided sink? You want your dishes to just slide out of there?
I actually think I would love for you to rewrite this. Like, I would love for you to watch it and rewrite what you think is happening and write the dialogue. It. That would probably be insensitive, but I would love to hear your version between
I would like to see G.E. Dracula Begins.
Yeah. Are you being a prequel to this?
Yeah.
We're going to see his origin story, how his parents were killed in the alley.
How did Grandpa develop his alcohol problem?
What I gather, most of the movie is him hustling to make money for his poor family.
And the mom gets sick.
Yeah.
There's a rich old lady that she works for, right?
I love the music.
She was fun.
And she's kind of the... kind of an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. She is too.
She's a boozer.
I liked her giant brandy sniffer that she drank from.
Yeah. Were you like, you have a moment? I had a moment with that giant glass where I'm like, is that a novelty glass or is that a legit glass? Like,
Not for her.
Haven't you seen big fucking absurd glasses being used in earnest? And you're like, those belong with giant sunglasses and exploding cigars.
I don't know if I have. But, I don't know.
But it was absurd. It was a Cougar Town size.
That was not in earnest.
Yeah, it was. I think
this was for cartoonish effect.
Yes. Yeah, alcohol is not the good guy in this. Spoiler alert.
This is what I understood. The mom goes to the wife because she works for the family and is like, hey, I need some money. My kid's in jail. And the wife is like, go ask my husband. And then they do it again when the grandpa is somewhere.
Well, they never think that. Yeah, he went to jail. So they never think to parasite this family and just move into the walls.
Right.
Which could have eliminated the whole need for a cheeky Dracula.
So what I think is happening is that the wife is like, I'm too drunk. Go ask my husband. And the husband is like, I'll give you money. And that solves all their problems. But what I think this man should start recognizing is maybe I need to pay my employees more and they wouldn't have to borrow money from me.
So I was the one that was overthinking it.
Well, that's where I landed on that.
Tables are turned, Amy.
I know that I also hate the, I like the very end when the woman, that guy who's like drinking the booze in the wood shop.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
he wants some experience. Like, she's like, no, get away. I don't need you.
Was that like paint thinner or something? I feel like there was some homemade stuff happening. The thing is where the root, have you seen Los Spookies on HBO? Any of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like this could be the origin story of one of those kids? Like scaring somebody as a solution to a problem and then having this very comic lead up to it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why he dressed up like Dracula, right? To scare people from drinking?
Yeah.
I guess so.
It's Scooby Doo villain logic.
Yeah. Okay. Because at one point.
But remember, it's an 8-year-old. Vampire.
Yeah, I understand that logic.
Drunk people. That was part of what the doctor, I think, was trying to explain.
So they find this dead. Is it was that a dead person on the ground? Right. The man. Remember, and there's a big crowd around him.
Yeah.
And he has like a bite mark on his neck. And is this where he gets the idea to become Dracula?
Something happens. Wait, then the kids.
There was somebody really died. I missed that.
Yeah, it was right near the end. And there was like the body in the street and the kid's like, oh, you know what I heard that is? And he's like, clearly like lying to people around him because he's starting to build up the legend of Cheeky Dracula.
So there could have been a real Dracula just in the background the whole time.
Yeah.
You have to watch it again. You look in the background.
Wait a minute. Was the wax figure that he sees at the beginning? He was a real person because the eyes moved.
He was just imagining that. He was imagining that.
I also noticed that in that wax museum, there's also a gray, Cantafloss, the Mexican comedian, who and that's a weird scene.
180 days.
Yeah.
Yes, good shit.
Why is Reagan?
well, the Reagan things. Well, because he's a global figure.
Reagan was in the wax museum that the kid.
And he was president at the time this movie was made.
Fun fact, that was really him.
Holy shit.
And it was really him.
Wait, Kelly, where'd you read that?
He was looking for that monkey from Bedtime for Bonzo.
It's class. It's classified.
They told him it was in the basement of the Alamo and he went too far. The kid conspiring with the doctor. The scene in the doctor's office where he's conspiring with the doctor to say, hey, look, my grandpa, I need you to help me save his life. He's going to drink himself to death. You got to tell him that this is a vampire that only attacks drunks. And he starts fucking around with the doctor and yelling his stethoscope. And they're both laughing their ass off like they just ate a bunch of fucking pop rats. I love that scene so much. They were just giggling. Both of them were just laughing. It seemed real. That was a good moment.
Yeah.
Okay, and at one point he becomes like a snake oil salesman, right?
Yeah, what was it?
The kid.
Is that when he's doing the presentation or whatever? Yeah, and he's talking to the crowd. That's
that was
my
just
favorite
more of his
part.
Hustle, right?
Yeah.
And
I loved his delivery.
A good pattern.
And at one point there's a donkey show at one point.
Is that what was going on, you think?
Well, he dressed his little brother up as a donkey and I went straight to Mexican Donkey Show.
Oh. Yeah, that's like a couple of bridges ahead of this, I think.
Yeah.
It felt pretty innocent. What I said earlier about this having the nugget of a great movie is child con artist stories are so fun.
They are.
And the thought of like somebody making this now, like with an eye towards really stylizing it, maybe. You could set it in the 80s still. But really stylize the fuck out of it and have a real build a real first act with the poor family and really get into all that. And then the second act, you could just have like three scams throughout the movie the kid runs. And the big one to save his dad's life is I got to become Cheeky Dracula.
Grandfather.
I meant grandfather.
Oh, and he is a one scam. He gets someone's hair.
Yeah.
And put it in the street for him. And he has something about where he gets a woman's shopping bag and take it into her car. It's a lot of good schemes.
Yeah.
Good hygiene.
I feel that was legit, though. I feel that was legit earning money. He was helping the ladies carry their bags.
He harassed that lady till she let him do it.
You know what's funny is like
motivated is all.
In my memory, this is bleeding together with the water park episode of It's Always Sunny,
which we just watched.
Oh yes,
because the kid who Dennis takes in is the scammer kid.
Yeah,
and now I started to say when Cheeky Dracula like took the Dracula got the wallet, handed it to Cheeky Dracula, and Cheeky Dracula returned it to the lady. So the lady gave him a reward, and then they split it. But that was not this.
No.
That was a whole different thing. I just happened to watch in tandem with this.
That was Sunny.
One eye on each.
Okay, can somebody explain the ending to me? Did they kill the old lady?
What? Did they kill you?
Did they scare her to death or something like that?
When he goes,
At one point he like sneaks into her. He sneaks like into like her room and bites her.
Right? Yeah, it's. I think it's just kind of one of those kind of endings that isn't.
Goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything okay. much. Right.
This was very gentle, somewhat.
My interpretation was that he scared her to death and the family inherited the money.
I like that.
Because
I
mean, at that the end, he was well-dressed.
Yeah. And maybe he really was a vampire.
Yeah.
You know, Andy, that's a really, that does almost make it Parasite.
I mean, I appreciate his hustle of actually scaring somebody to death and inheriting her money.
It sounded like he was kissing her neck. Like every time he was after somebody, it sounded like he was sucking on her neck. Like, I mean, like
oh, that's
like,
what vampires do.
That's what Draculas do.
It was real wet, though.
He got bit by a vampire.
You could just you could take all definition and articulation out of that.
I love that little boy too. The cute kids, cute kids all around.
That's what cheeky Dracula had.
Yeah,
I guess it the did. Mom, whatever medical situation she was dealing with, she's fine.
And Andy kept calling the lady an old lady who was probably younger than us when they filmed this.
Well, 80s old.
She was 80s old. Yeah, that's true. We're
the drunk wife.
We're saying 90s the new
who
40.
They cured. But like everybody was in on it. The husband was in on it. The mom knows he's cheeky Dracula and this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
The doctor, like the whole town, but grandpa and drunk wife.
Cheeky Dracula is like a make-a-wish kid who wanted the whole town to believe he was Dracula. And they did it. And that's another component that you throw in. He's got his make-a-wish.
I hope that there's an unaired thing where it comes back outside and he sees Dracula's costume and he goes out and beats the little kid out.
But like, as we know, some addiction issues are passed through the old DNA. And then who's going to cheeky Dracula, grown-up cheeky Dracula with his own drinking problem?
you made this this movie about abject poverty very dark, Amy.
Everybody has a drinking problem, but nobody has a cheeky Dracula.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. He needs somebody to scare him straight.
Oh, God.
He needs a cheeky Frankenstein or something.
Yeah.
Or cheeky werewolf.
Cheeky in the chocolate factory.
Yeah, we need a cheeky universal monster. Yeah. We need cheeky Bride of Frankenstein. We need a cheeky creature from Black Lagoon. A cheeky mummy.
If I can find it, there's a picture of me as a kid dressed as Dracula, and I look exactly like cheeky Dracula, except I don't have the bow tie. It's the only part I didn't have, but the rest of the costume is exactly the same.
You think it's based on you?
It's based on my life. It was the same year, probably, I was dressed up as Dracula, actually.
Somebody saw you out there.
86.
And then they traveled back to Mexico.
They traveled back to Mexico.
And they had a great idea, and they put it on film.
They're like, I saw a kid. Now get this. You know the horror film character Dracula. He was originally played by Bela Lugosi in 1932. Anyways, Universal Pictures is great if you haven't seen it. Foreign guy. There's a kid in my neighborhood did himself up just like that guy. You believe this shit? I mean, who knows who that is? Everyone over there all night, everybody's like, what is that? And like, a Lugosi? And they're like, what?
That's exactly what my conversations are like.
Well, I think we did it. Lewis, I delighted in this movie.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad somebody liked it.
I'm sorry that you didn't.
I'm not saying,
I liked it because I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like what I thought.
You know what it reminded me of was Wood Chipper Massacre. That same aimless amateur filmmaking that somehow I can't turn off because I'm too enchanted with just the people who made, the people who made it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we just watched the St. Francisville experiment. That
opposite.
Reminds me of what you just said.
St. Francisville experiment is terrible. I hated it so much.
And what is that?
It's a knockoff of Blair Witch that came out around the same time as Blair Witch.
Yeah.
And it is getting some, for some reason, it's coming up on people's lists.
So it's like a found footage type thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's because nobody remembers it. And they're like, I found something that nobody else has watched. So now it's on my list.
And they got to talk it up like it's way better than it is. And it's not. It's not very good.
Horror hipsters.
Cheeky Draculas.
I want two cheeky Draculas that I can just push apart.
He was cheeky, wasn't he? He was so sassy.
The very definition of. I told you that when we were watching it.
If you were hidden behind two cheeky Draculas and you knew you were safe behind them, would you take a peeky between the cheekies? Or would you stay hidden and safe?
All right.
Patrons.
Next week, yes.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Is news and
feedback and what? Yeah, and what's not?
Do you want to join us, Lewis? You're welcome to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty. We're going to get sloppy with some news.
I don't have a Tropicana question yet.
That's okay. You can tease your squeeze or not.
You don't have to tease a squeeze if you think you can get it wet quick.
Okay.
I can.
With a slut like Kelly, he can't.
he's
wet all the time.
So that just a reminder, Tropicana and our Origins episodes are all on Patreon, patreon.com/NOTLP. There is a level, God tier level, where you get your name said all the time on every show, whether you want it or not. So I'm going to do that right now. These are our Beelzebubs. Elise.
I'll see you in a second, baby. Love you.
Lynn Walsh.
Candyman.
Lynn, you are in Australia.
Alyssa.
Candyman.
Alyssa, you are somewhere that's not Australia and it's on the United States.
Brandon and
I'm
Emily.
Not going to keep doing this, but I do love Brandon and Emily.
Me too. Jeffel.
Candyman.
Happy birthday, Dustin.
Happy birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday. Candyman.
I own a good one.
Candyman.
What a great one. Dr. Brian.
Candyman.
Bill. Bill.
Candyman.
Jerk bitch boat.
You're going to have summoned like three or four Candymen by the time we're done with this.
It'll be Candy's men.
Yeah.
It's all a trap for the Candymen.
Bill Farner.
It's like, did you bring candy?
I have candy for real.
Blake.
I'd share it with you, but you're too far away.
Mark Watts.
Maybe I can fling a Jolly Rancher your way.
Blaine Yogurt.
Has anyone ever taken like a lollipop, the ball from a bubble blow pop and use it as a golf ball?
George Jeans.
And do you think it would get obliterated during the drive or do you think I'm on to something?
Paul, I'm so happy you could live your dreams. Jeremy Cassie and Gamora.
Oh. Hug the neck. Hug that beautiful dog's neck.
Ernie.
Ernie, hug your own beautiful neck, Ern.
Dave Siebert.
I love you, Dave.
Michael Burns.
Mike, it's your baby, Michael.
And Monica.
And you're going to help raise it.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, it's at Lewis Fowler on the Twitters and such. LouisFowler.
Makes the very best NESTLES.
That's right.
I try.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
I was wondering if he should go to